In or near the year 850 BC, Elijah, the prophet, stood against the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. He alone stood against 450. The enemy prophets called on their god Baal to bring fire. Baal did not. But Yahweh did at Elijah's imprecation. But Elijah taunted them. Cry aloud, for Baal is a god. Either he is musing, or he is inside, or he is on a journey, or he is asleep. He needs to wake up. Maybe he does not hear very well. Try again. Elijah also announced the end of a great drought on that very day, on the way to the River Jordan. In the year 820 BC, Elijah went up a high mountain, not unlike that on which Jesus stood some weeks ago in our presence in the Gospel of Mark. And there Elijah listened for God. And there Elijah heard God. Not in fire or smoke or whirlwind or techno wizardry or techno frenzy, for God was not there, but in a still, small voice, in silence, the silence before real hearing and speaking, in conscience, in mind, in will. The Lord passed by, and a great wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still, small voice on the way to the River Jordan. In the year 800 BC, Elijah, the troubler of Israel, saw King Ahab, through his wife Jezebel, take the garden of a poor man, Naboth, and kill Naboth in the process. Said Ahab to Naboth, I will give you a better vineyard for it. But Naboth did not want another, he wanted his own. And Ahab sulked, vexed and sullen, and lay down on his bed and turned his face and would eat no food. But Naboth held on to his own vineyard. But Jezebel said, Ahab, do you govern Israel? Arise and eat bread and let your heart be cheerful. I will get you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. But Naboth resisted her too. So they took him outside the city and they stoned him to death. And Jezebel said to Ahab, go and take Naboth's vineyard, for he is dead. But Elijah, the troubler of Israel, confronted the king and said, have you killed and taken? Then I tell you, in the place where dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick your own blood. Elijah, the troubler of Israel. It's one thing to desire another's property and another to take it by force. Elijah held a mirror before the country that wanted such a king and the influence of such a queen on the way to the River Jordan. In the year 30 AD, Elijah's spirit awakened Peter, who went up a high mountain with Jesus to see him changed. Elijah and others brought reason and morality to the religion of Moses and others. And our season of Lent is meant to remind us of the priority of worship. Find a way to get to worship. Worship brings the insight of personal need lifted in prayer. Worship brings the insight of another's hurt lifted in communal singing, four-part harmonic hymns. Worship brings the insight of clarity, a word fitly spoken, lifted in a sermon. Worship brings the insight of choosing, the choice of faith, not thrill, but will, lifted in the invitations to devotion, discipline, and dedication. Worship brings the insight of loyalty of heart, lifted every Sunday in the offering of gifts and tithes. Elijah brought hope, prophetic hope, into the tradition and minds of his people on the way from the River Jordan. In the year 1735, the spirit of Elijah rested on the New England community of Northampton and the ministry of a Puritan divine, Jonathan Edwards, our Calvinist interlocutor here this Lent. Edwards saw the divine light shining in the human soul. Edwards saw the material universe existing in God's mind. Edward saw faith in the willingness of saints to be damned for the glory of God. Edward saw religious affections, inclinations, dispositions, all gifts of God and faith, the love of God that kindles joy, trust, hope, peace, a sense of the heart. Edward saw the centrality of the experience of faith. A person may know that honey is sweet, but no one can know what sweet means until they taste the honey. Edward saw that God delights properly in the devotions, graces, and good works of God's saints. Jonathan Elijah Edwards, our New England precursor, walked along the Connecticut River on the way from the River Jordan. In the year 1865, in our nation's capital, the spirit of Elijah touched the tongue of Abraham Lincoln. Months and days before Lincoln died, Lincoln cried out with malice toward none, with charity for all, firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right. Let us finish the work that we are in. Real costs occasion our very freedom to gather in community for worship this Lord's Day. The same spirit, that of 1850 BC, that presence, that quickened consciousness, that affection, that devotion, that inclination, were present with Lincoln and are with us today. You have the brute fact of the brute creation, but you have too the spirit on the way from the River Jordan. In the year 1951, the spirit of Elijah rested in the mind of Ray Bradbury. He wrote a book, Fahrenheit 451. This is the temperature at which paper burns. An eschatological prophecy about the end of books, the end of reading, the end of memory. The novel ends along a river. Montag finds himself with hobos around a campfire along the river bank. He is surprised to find that fire, the mode of book destruction he has resisted, can give as well as take, warm as well as burn. He waits in the shadows. The men around the fire summon him out of the dark and take him in. He learns that each one of them has committed some book to memory. One is a walking Plato's Republic. One is a living work of Thomas Hardy. One has memorized several of the plays of Shakespeare. Byron, Machiavelli, Tom Paine, and the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all these are carried in the minds of the hobos. They are walking libraries, the remaining memory of the art of the race. What have you to offer, they ask Montag. Only parts of Ecclesiastes and of the Revelation to St. John, he replies. And here, March 8th, 2015, a day in an age that has eschewed reading for scanning, book for blog, Google for memory, earning for knowing, Elijah Bradbury's word resonates on the way out from the River Jordan. In the year 1959, down in the southern third of Alabama, the spirit of Elijah rested on the mind of Harper Lee. She wrote a book great because it changed people's minds and hearts. Like Augustine's Confessions, like Uncle Tom's Cabin, like the Diary of Anne Frank, like Elie Wiesel's Night, like what Tom Hanks tried to do in the film Philadelphia. The prophet's magic mantle, which divides the River Jordan, pierces the heart. Our friend Lee's pastor, Thomas Lane Butts, spoke of her to us some years ago, all on the way down from the River Jordan. In the year 1965, in early March, the spirit of Elijah walked across the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. John Lewis was there, as he said, not angry, but full of righteous indignation. Through the history offices and gifts of Boston University, we sat next to him over dinner 3 winters ago. All his growing up days, he said, I wanted to be a preacher. I'd come home and I'd preach to anybody. I preached to the chickens. I wanted to preach. If nothing else, perhaps 50 years hence, we could remember that real change is real hard, but comes in real time when real people really work at it. On the ground, in personal visitation, then in small groups, with gifted leadership, down on the way from the River Jordan. In the winter of the year 2015, Elijah, the spirit of Elijah, brooded over the face of New England snow fields, the sore muscles of a shoveling people, the tired torsos of a commuting community, the undaunted willingness still to help a neighbor, the gritty determination to get through the blizzards, the awareness of needs for investment and the communal forms of transport, the gladness of children and the extra time of adults, the same spirit visited, but also in the same winter. The sore memory muscles wrestling with the horror and mayhem, needless and cruel, of the marathon bombing of 2013. The blizzard of feeling and thought inevitably brought by a current courtroom trial, brought to the surface again. The rush of anger alongside the search for the better angels of one's nature. You may not daily recognize Elijah, but he is present. Morning in reading, mealtime in prayer, evening in quiet, Sunday in worship. People have such odd reasons for avoiding worship. On the way forward from the River Jordan, Elijah, elusive spirit, mysterious ghost, the divine present absence personified. On March 8th of 2015, the spirit of the prophet Elijah hovered in the nave of Marsh Chapel, Boston University. The chapel has given to you and others over many decades beauty, grace, preachment, music, recollection. Some here have found God, and some here have been found by God. Marsh, a gift. And so you have responded by listening on the radio, good. By joining us one Sunday, good. By giving to and through this ministry, good. By inviting someone to listen to, good. By inviting someone to come with you, good. By dreaming of an even more permanent place, an even stronger witness, an even more vibrant voice at through Marsh Chapel, good. One of you may choose to endow the deanship of this chapel, good. Elijah awaits us on the way from the River Jordan. In the year 2000, I apologize, I've mislaid the exact date. In the year 2000, some year, the prophet Elijah will be on my doorstep and knocking on your doorstep, perhaps at midnight, maybe at noonday, possibly at dawn, or in the wee hours of the morning. The eschatological prophet, the prophet of the last things, the one invited by Peter to a booth with Jesus, Elijah, the prophet of God, will make a pastoral visit. In the last hour of my life, and in the last hour of yours. And there will be the River Jordan. There will be a mantle slapped on the water, and there will be a parting of the ways. There will be a step forward. There will be a chariot. A sweet chariot, a swinging sweet chariot, a fiery swinging sweet chariot. There will be a presence. Could it be that the weeks of Cascade, the days of Nevada, the snow and snow and snow of our 2015 New England winter of discontent are really carrying for us an evocation, a query, a reminder, a call, a premonition, a measuring, a warning, a promise? much of what we spend our time on, and our money too, doesn't matter at all. It is the Spirit that giveth life on the way from the River Jordan. In the year to come, sometime going back a half step, an Elijah spirit will usher us, it could be, toward only the second book of Harper Lee, a surprise and an adventure in this newly discovered book. There, Scout is grown up and Atticus Finch is old, and the setting is not the Depression, but the early civil rights movement. But we know whence Scout emerged, and maybe we will reread Mockingbird. One of my predecessors in Rochester was a Southerner, Andrew Turnipseed, a friend of Dr. King's. At Turnipseed's funeral, my dear friend Thomas Lane Butts said, near the end of Nell Harper Lee's wonderful novel, To Kill a Mockingbird, there is a touching and unforgettable scene. Jean Louise, Scout, young daughter of the courageous Atticus Finch, has persuaded her father to let her come to the courtroom to hear the verdict in the controversial case in which he is defending a black man. She chose to sit in the balcony with the black church. The inevitable guilty verdict is rendered. It is over. Atticus Finch gathers his papers, places them in his briefcase, and begins a sad and lonely walk down the center aisle to the back door. Scout hears someone call her name, Miss Jean Louise. She looks behind her and sees that all of the black people are standing up as her father walks down the aisle. Then she heard the voice of the minister, Reverend Sykes. Miss Jean Louise, stand up, stand up. Your father's passing. Can you hear that? It begs to be heard. Down toward the River Jordan. Here is one way to live, offered to you without price. Elijah's way, the Spirit way, the way of confidence born of obedience, the way of the journey of faith, the way of the obedience of faith. In this way, we live with the trust to see things through, to cross over, to cross the bridge, to cross the river, to trust our past, to trust our experience, to trust the Spirit, to trust our Elishas, our friends, our successors, to trust that in some way, spiritually similar to Elijah at Jordan, a sweet chariot awaits, a chariot of promise, a chariot of freedom, a chariot of hope, a chariot of deliverance, a chariot of salvation, a chariot of heaven, a chariot to carry us home. Swing low, sweet chariot.